Well, it's been many months since we last studied the Proverbs, subject studies from Proverbs. Some of you may not have even been here, but we did for several years occasional studies on the Proverbs, grouping them as subjects. We've covered and began with the fear of the Lord, then we looked at the wise and the fool, the diligent and the sluggard, self-control versus passion, the tongue and its many aspects. It could be a multi-year study itself. The friend and the foe, the rich and the poor, proverbial psychology, joy, grief, gladness, hope, and so forth. Pride versus humility, teachability versus imbecility, the training of our children, the child's character, pleasures and addictions, the crowning versus the contending wife, and honesty versus dishonesty. And it's great to review. I review those messages myself and seek to get them into my own head. So I hope they'd be profitable to you if you face some of those issues, as I know you all do. I'm reading a book by Dan Phillips called God's Wisdom in Proverbs. I recommend it to you. He's one of the bloggers on the Pyromaniac blog, God's Wisdom in Proverbs. And he said, if the Bible is a library, then the Proverbs is a library within that library. Proverbs is a kaleidoscope or kaleidoscopic microcosm of the wisdom of God. And I like that because Proverbs is like a library. It's an encyclopedia of information. It's a place we can go to look at almost any topic, and we've just mentioned a few. You can make a list of all the categories, and there are many. If you'd like to hear a category taught upon, let me know. I still have a list of a few more studies that we can do as I have the opportunity. But I want to remind you of that beautiful idea that the Proverbs is a library, and especially for young people, children, teenagers, but all of us, it's a kaleidoscopic, it's massive, and you look through the lens of Proverbs and you can find your duties from the great task of trusting in the Lord down to being diligent as you take care of business. Just wanted to mention that as an introduction, but then we're going to come to our passage, which is going to be Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. How many of you know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? One? How many of you heard of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Okay, there's songs about it. It may be the most popular, or the most popular two Proverbs that everyone knows. You might have a plaque on your wall. My son has a Bible case that's on there. But you may know it by heart, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. But let's ask it another way. How many of you know Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? And the challenge with a passage like this is we may know it. We may have it on a plaque. We may have it memorized. It is so familiar. It's one of those passages in the Bible that it's sort of old hat to us. But of course, that has a certain danger because familiarity, as we know, can breed contempt. We can think, oh, I've got that down. Well, actually, none of us have this down. None of us can say, check mark, I do that. I trust in the Lord with all my heart. None of us do that. We're all beginners. We find every day that we need to do this. It's sobering. It's even scary that we could know a Bible verse. We could have it in our brain or on the wall our entire life, but never do it or never make progress. Or the progress is very small. We want to consider what these Proverbs say about trusting in the Lord. We might call this study trusting in the Lord versus leaning on yourself. Remember, the Proverbs always take two ideas and they juxtapose them like a seesaw with one on one side and one on the other. And in this case, it's trusting the Lord or versus leaning on yourself. Do you trust in the Lord or do you trust in yourself? Who do we lean upon to make decisions? Where do we go when we think about things and want direction for our lives. Well, let's read it. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Again, familiar words, but let's step back and ask ourselves, what do these words mean? Let's challenge ourselves to take it to the next level. I was very convicted as I was thinking about these verses, and I read delightfully about 20 commentaries, and I think I discovered that they have the same problem we do. Very familiar, so they have somewhat trite answers. Well, this is just what it is, without taking it deeply and dwelling upon it. No scripture should be trite, but we'll consider this our passage today. He gives a three-pronged instruction and a promise. One, trust in the Lord. Two, do not lean on your own understanding. Three, in all your ways know Him. And then the promise, and He will make your paths straight. We'll work through each of these. Well, first, trust in the Lord. Now, of course, He is trustworthy. He is, later in this chapter, it mentions God as Creator. He is the Creator God. He is the true God. He is your God. Therefore, He is trustworthy. So, trust in Him. Trust in Him. We have this word 51 times in the Bible, the same Hebrew word. And by trust, we mean firm belief, confidence, faith. It's a synonym with faith, hope, dependence, reliance, and resting in and upon God. That's what it means to trust in the Lord, to trust in Him, in God, and who He is. We must know Him and know more about Him so that we would trust in Him. Maybe Solomon was thinking what his father told him. If you want to turn back to 1 Chronicles 28:9. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. Proverbs does have a context. We don't know for each verse, but we know that David's father said this. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve Him with a whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every intent of the thoughts. If you seek Him, He will let you find Him. But if you forsake Him, He will reject you forever. See the parallel here. Trust in the Lord. Know the Lord. Serve Him with all your heart. It's the same basic instruction that Solomon's father gave to him. You might be thinking of Philippians 3, 8 and 10. Knowing Christ our Lord, or the desire to that I may know Him. Knowing God, it's a great topic. There's a book by J.I. Packer, we recommend it to you. Knowing God, or trusting in God. And how worthy is He of our trust, is He not? Remember that biblical proverbs are different from other ancient adages or popular proverbs because the proverbs have a theological foundation. Remember the motto of Proverbs? Does anyone remember? What's the motto? What's the motto of Proverbs? What's the baseline? This is a quiz. Pardon? Yes, thank you, Carolyn. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's not enough just to have Proverbs, a stitch in time saves nine, isn't that how it goes? You could list off all these other Proverbs that might be helpful, but they don't have the theological foundation. Proverbs are not just wise sayings for the age. They're much more than that. They are the way we know God and walk with Him. We must have the fear of the Lord. And here He comes directly when He says, trust in the Lord. We're not called, of course, to trust in our own heart. That's popular today. You could look up poems and songs. It's very popular for the culture to say, trust your heart. Let your heart lead you. More of that in a moment. Proverbs 16:20 adds a little breadth here. He writes, "He who gives attention to the word will find good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord." There's a big gulf fixed between trusting in the Lord and trusting in ourselves. Who do you trust in? Or how much do you trust in the Lord? Solomon intensifies it when he adds, he could have put a period, trust in the Lord, period. That would be good theology. But he adds more. What does he say? Trust in the Lord sometimes. Trust in the Lord on Sundays. Trust in the Lord in the church. Trust in the Lord with your finances. Well, yes, all of these, but more with all your heart. What an intensification. With all your heart. Trusting in the Lord is extensive and exclusive. It reaches everything. And he says you cannot have any other trust here. It must be trust in the Lord. It's all inclusive. Wholehearted trust or faith is the standard, but half-hearted trust is forbidden. Wholeheartedness. We need to have our faith to be complete, to be all of us, as it were, with all our heart. If you do a quick search online or in your concordance, you might look at Deuteronomy, because we see there over and over again, seek, serve, obey, trust, love the Lord with all your heart. It's a familiar phrase, especially in Deuteronomy, with all your heart. That's the standard of true religion, of true Christianity, all of our hearts. Jeremiah said it this way, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Jeremiah 29:13. It's not enough just to have part of our hearts trusting the Lord. He wants all of it. With all your heart, trust in the Lord. Then he adds an enforcement. And do not lean on your own understanding. Do not lean or support yourself, as Craig may have been, on a crutch or a cane. Don't lean on that. Don't lean on your own understanding. Some people say religion is a crutch. I used to say, no, it's a gurney. I remember in the army would say, well, your religion's just a crutch. Well, it's much more than that. It's everything. God is carrying me. Well, sometimes we lean on one crutch as ourselves and one crutch as God. No, it must be all of Him, not leaning on our own understanding. There's a battle going on. There's two voices. God's voice of counsel, listen to me. And then the other voice is ourselves, our own understanding. Remember, the heart is deceitful, but for God's grace. There's these two voices. Who are we going to listen to? Are we going to trust in the Lord or lean on ourselves? And we know how easy it is to lean on our own understanding. We make a decision, we sin, we get convicted, and we think, I was listening to myself. I did what I wanted, not what God wanted. Really, every sin is listening to yourself. Every sin we commit is leaning on our own understanding. Remember Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Well, fools, and when we act foolish, we think we're right. Or 26:12, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. Beware, teenagers and young people, as you grow up, you have a tendency, as we all did, to think you know everything. We can be that way as adults, but I think notoriously teenagers can fall into that trap of thinking, I've come of age, I know something. Do not lean on your own understanding. That's foolishness. That has consequences. When I was studying, I remembered a song. Maybe you've heard it. I'll just read a couple lines. See who gets it first. Raise your hand when you know what it is. The courage to serve them with reliance, face my mistakes without defiance. Show them I'm worthy, and while I show them, I'll show me. So let them bring on all their problems. I'll do better than my best. I have confidence they'll put me to the test. But I'll make them see that I have confidence in me. Okay, most of you know that. If you haven't heard that song, well, you're probably not an American. But what's wrong with Maria as she's going into that job to be the caregiver to those children? What's wrong with that idea? Is that how we ought to think? I have confidence in me? I mean, it's so silly and stupid, but isn't that what we do? We have confidence in ourselves. We lean on our own understanding. It's hilariously tragic, because that's the path we often take. When we don't trust in the Lord, we're leaning on ourselves and saying, I have confidence in me. I'll show myself. I'll pick myself up by the bootstraps. I can do it. Beware of Maria's theology, or Mr. Richard Rogers of Rogers and Hammerstein. Do not boast in your own wisdom. Turn over to Jeremiah 9. This is a chronic problem through the ages, and the prophets spoke against it many times. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts, boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. Don't boast in yourself. Don't lean on yourself. Trust in the Lord completely, all the time, in everything. Well, he further expounds what he wants us to see by the hand of the Spirit, the mind of the Spirit, when he says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Now, I like to write in my Bible occasionally, and you could write, if you write in your Bible, in all your ways, literally, know him. Know him. In every category of life, know God. That's what it says. In all your ways, know him. Factor him into every category. And we're going to list a whole bunch of categories. But this is really a Christian worldview. Know God in every single thing that you do, in every minute of the day, every day of the week, every day of the year, every day of your life. Factor God into it. Know him. Acknowledge him in all your ways. This is big. This is a big deal. And it's one thing that we want to teach you children, our children, that you must learn by the grace of God to put God into everything. There's no area. You've heard people say, well, I keep that separate from my religion. No, you cannot keep anything separate from your religion. Your religion, true religion, must govern everything you do. One author said, it's an entire commitment. It entails an exclusive commitment and an exhaustive commitment. Exhaustive. Some of you have, maybe, an exhaustive concordance. I pulled mine out in the last few days here. It's a big, fat book. I actually have books still. I hope you have a few. An exhaustive concordance. An exhaustive concordance basically has every word in the Bible. We must take this verse and apply it to every page in our lives. In all your ways, acknowledge and know him. Lord, forgive us because we have not done it. Have we? Have we put Him into every little detail? Well, far too often we've leaned on our own understanding. Consider a few areas, from the great to the small. In creation, when you look at creation, know that He made it all. Know Him in creation. In marriage, know that He set your roles. In dating and courting and finding a husband or wife, don't leave God out of it, of course. Know Him in that. Pray to Him. Listen to what His Word says. Factor God into finding a mate. Big time. In child rearing, obviously, know His methods. Understand children from His point of view. In changing diapers, mothers and fathers, I haven't done that in quite a while. You're doing that as unto Him. Joyfully, not always. Serving. In your work, know His standard. When you go into the workplace, men, and you're tempted to waste the company's time, know that the Lord said that's wrong. When you're challenged to lie in a business deal or to push the truth under the table for a moment, remember that He governs your work. In the world, as you live in this world, know His way. Factor God into it. Young people, the music you listen to, factor God into it. Know God in your music. The way you dress, factor God into it. Know Him. The places you go, factor God in it. Know Him in the places you go. In the words you speak, in the multitude of words there is transgression. How often do we just say a lot of words? We offend our wives, our children, a friend, because we didn't know God in our mouths, in our communication. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, know Him. In your sins, know Him. Know the grace that He offers in Christ alone. In your sanctification, how do you grow as a Christian? Know Him and His means. Here's an everyday item. In driving down I-5, when I go to work on Tuesday morning and I get in the van pool and someone cuts me off, and in my heart I'm tempted to murder them, I must know God. I must acknowledge Him that even if that person sinned, maybe I need to pray for them. Factor God into the way you drive. In your worries. Does anyone ever worry? Acknowledge Him. Know Him. In your worries, know His sovereignty. Know His character, that He is compassionate and gracious, that He's in control. In your success, in your victories, know Him. Give Him the glory. Don't forget, it's by His grace that we're able to do any of these things. Give Him the praise and the glory. In your habits, know that His eye is upon you. In your habits, know Him. In eating and drinking, know that He gives food to you. He gives you the ability to enjoy it. And also, Lord, give us the ability not to go into excess. And bless it to us. Know Him in our eating and our drinking. In our finances, know His instructions. Know Him. We can't say, oh, here's my money and here's God over here. No, God must be involved and His thoughts must govern everything we do. In the movies you watch, in the books you read, know Him. Let His Word govern that as well. In your relationships, beware, bad company corrupts good morals. Know Him. If you have a friend that is pulling you down, to hell or down the drain or into trouble, avoid them. In your life, know Him in prayer. Pray without ceasing. Know Him. Know Him in every minute of every day. And then finally, we've just named a few, but in death. We're praying for Joan's grandmother who at any moment is going to go to be with Christ in heaven. In our death, Lord, help us when we face that day, when we come down to the last minutes, that we would know Him. We wouldn't despair, we wouldn't have fear, but we would calmly and by His grace pass from life to death and to be with Christ in heaven. In these ways, we must know Him in every single category. You can fill in the blank. There's no category where we don't need to have God with us to know Him. We need to factor Him into everything. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. As Dan Phillips said, our entire thinking is to bear the impress of the Lordship of God. Everything you do must bear the impress of the Lordship of God. It is a high standard. This verse may be up on our walls, but have we really laid hold of it? Have we brought every area of our lives and factored God into it? Or do we only acknowledge Him in some ways? And we're all guilty of this, of course. And we all would repent and say, Lord, help me to acknowledge You in the details, in every detail of my life. Or what's the conclusion? The conclusion is a promise, is a blessing, and He will make your paths straight. God will make your paths straight. Trust Him and not yourself. Know Him and His way and not your own. And He will make you walk as He calls you to walk in these very Proverbs, the straight path. How do I walk down the straight and narrow? How do I avoid the crooked path? I trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding. But in all our ways, acknowledge Him. And then He blesses us by enabling us to do the very thing that He told us to do. It's profound. It's the model. It's a great summary of the Christian life. Really, that's why these verses are very popular, because it's a much in little description of the Christian life. He will make your path straight. He will enable you to do it as you basically die to self and your own understanding, trusting in Him. He will enable you to do everything that He calls you to do. What comments or questions do you have this morning about these verses? Yes, Sam.
In acknowledging God in our lives, I think we would agree that internally acknowledging God is universal in every aspect of what we do. My question relates to externally acknowledging God. I think we would agree there are times when it's wise to acknowledge God and praise Him externally for things, and there are times that may not be wise, maybe in like professional context. What guidelines could you give to help make that determination?
That's a good question. Well, in all your ways, acknowledge Him, I think, does have an application. When you're given a promotion at work, you're given a large bonus, how might you respond to your manager? Or you're awarded new business, or you close a deal, or you have some great success? We must be wise that we do not cast our pearls before swine. So I don't think there's a trite answer. We'll always say this. It's the art, if you will, of the Christian life of knowing when to answer someone. If they're a fool and they hate God, well, it's probably best not to. But in your mind, you're saying, thank you, Lord. But if appropriate, engaging the situation, and they might say, well, how did you do this? Or what comments do you have? And maybe you would simply reply with, I thank God. God is good. or at least showing gratitude, one way without even mentioning the name of God is to be humble and to show gratitude to the person. Maybe you've had a success, but it is an art to know how much to say to the world, because they don't trust in the Lord. They have no clue. But we ought to seize the moment to witness as we can. Neighbors may say, how did you give this success? Or maybe they'll say, well, your children are well behaved, or you seem to have a wonderful marriage. And maybe you could ask them, well, let me tell you about it. Or I'd like to sit down at lunch and share with you how I got to this point. Or, wow, that's what you were before? How did you get this far? I'd love to tell you if you have a minute. Maybe those are a few. Pardon? Okay.
So are you speaking in favor of Tim Tebow?
I only know that he apparently kneels down and points up to heaven if he gets a touchdown. Is that accurate? I don't know. I mean, I think we need to be wise, and I'm trying to think of a scripture that might govern this, but as we have opportunity, we ought to give God the glory. Although, I remember as an unbeliever, I mean, many unbelievers, when they get a Grammy or an Emmy, they always say, thank God, or even thanks to Jesus Christ, and it's meaningless. So, you know, we have to be cautious that it's not almost taking God's name in vain. And I'm not saying he's done that, but we need wisdom and discernment how we're going to go about it. And it's a valid question that Sam asked. How do we express to the world something about God? And I think we get up in the morning and we say, Lord, grant me an opportunity. Grant that they might ask so that I would answer, and how to answer, and to have discernment, because it can be a great witnessing opportunity.
So perhaps to be able to discern between Christ and a true witness that really delivers the true message of how God's working in your life.
Yes. Yes. And I think if we have a great dose of humility, you know, if we have a great success by the grace of God, if we're proud, well, we already blew it. And I think even the world watches how we respond. And so to have humility and to be aware that I don't want to be trite, but I want to be true, is what we ought to do. Good point, Tom. Any other comments or questions?
Like, you better make sure you never do anything that would. I mean, it can be a negative if you're having a bad day and you don't realize, you forget the fish is on your car and everyone's watching you. And,
or the car that pulls up in front of you in your van.
Yeah.
We definitely need to make sure that our Christianity is a lot more than a sticker, a bracelet, a shirt. It's very easy to just say, I'm a Christian, to look like a Christian, oh, we're going to church today. But to really have a life to back up, to drive like a Christian, you know, I can have a fish, but if I drive like the devil, or I'm ready to murder someone with road rage, which, you know, a few of us men have probably had those thoughts or worse. And yeah, we ought to have a great dose of humility and live out the truth of God so that we would win others by our actions. Yeah, good point as well. Yes, sweetie.
I had a friend years ago who really literally took that first in everywhere. So when she got up in the morning to go to work, she asked the Lord which outfit she should wear. Is this crazy, or are we supposed to do that? Because I used to walk her in my heart. Honestly, what difference does the Lord have to tell you to wear the red dress and the blue dress to go to work?
Right.
But I love the way that she really depended on the Lord, but I thought that it's too charismatic and too crazy. Is that right or wrong?
No, I agree, and I like Martin Luther's comment on this. Love God and do what you please. If you have two dresses and one is red and one is green, which one do you like? You don't need to pray about it. But on the flip side, if one is modest and one is immodest, then we need to, of course, know the Lord in our dress and dress in a way that is appropriate. So, you know, I think it's good to reflect now and again, do I dress appropriately? So yes, we factor God into the way we dress, but of course, with some Christian common sense, we don't say, Lord, should my favorite color be red or green? I think that misses the mark of a text like this. But I think sincere Christians have fallen into that trap of should I drink orange juice or apple juice? Lord, show me. And there may be sincere, but I think as we read the Bible, of course, that's not the point. But we should say, Lord, give me moderation, give me wisdom. I'm not going to drink the last apple juice because my wife and kids may like to have some, because that would be the right thing to do. Yes, good point. Anything else? Okay, well, God willing, if there is another opportunity in the future, maybe it'll be 9 more months, I'm not sure. But remember John as they are down in Oregon with Joan's grandmother who is dying. But we will hopefully come to other verses. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. For the fear of man brings this snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all things. An arrogant man stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will prosper. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered. Just a few more verses along this theme that we could look at. And I'll leave you with Proverbs 22:19. As a father there speaks to his son, he said, we've given all this instruction for what purpose? So that your trust may be in the Lord. I have taught you today, even you. So may we go away and a little bit more by God's grace, or a lot more by God's grace, may we trust in the Lord with all of our heart, not leaning on our own understanding, in every category, in every area, knowing Him, and He will make our paths straight. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this good and clear teaching from your word. Father, we confess that we far too often lean on our own understanding. Lord, in the minutiae of our days, young and old alike, forgive us because we have often leaned upon our own understanding. Father, we want to, and by your grace, help us to know you in every area, to acknowledge your lordship over our minutes and hours. Help us to understand how to apply this and not to be confused, as was mentioned. But Lord, we know that far too often again, we choose to listen to ourselves rather than you. Lord, thank you that you are trustworthy, and may we know you better so that we would trust you better. Lord, bless these words and make it profitable to your people. For Christ's sake, amen.